Have you ever heard a story that just makes you really rethink things like about wisdom, spirituality, maybe even rules?
Definitely.
Well, today we're diving into a really fascinating one. Long Pu Tim Isoriko, a highly revered Thai monk, and his search for this legendary talisman, the Fa Yan Fad Bok, supposedly incredibly powerful.
Right. And the twist, the really surprising part for you, maybe, cannabis. It seems cannabis played this, well, pivotal role in his whole spiritual quest for it.
Exactly. So our mission in this deep dive is to unpack that. We want to look at Luang Pu Tim's Panyayan, his profound insight or wisdom, and how that connects with the shifting views on cannabis in Thailand, legally and culturally.
And also, it's pretty complex status in, religious traditions like Buddhism and Hinduism. It's a story that really challenges easy answers.
Okay, so Long Pu Tim, born 1879, passed away in 1975. He wasn't just any monk. He was known for, well, some pretty extraordinary mental abilities.
Oh, yeah.
There are stories, anecdotes about him making holy water actually boil during ceremonies, just through concentration.
Wow. Okay, so a figure with some serious spiritual way.
For sure. So him seeking out this specific talisman, the Fa Yan Fad Bok, tells you it must have been something quite special, right?
Absolutely. And the story behind why he wanted it is, well, it's intense. He apparently saw its power firsthand.
How so?
He witnessed a soldier use a similar charm, a Fabok Sao. It's like a powerful attraction or a love charm. And this soldier used it to magically kind of compel a village girl to just leave everything and follow him.
Whoa, that's unsettling almost. A potent demonstration.
Exactly. Talk about seeing the power up close. That must have made quite an impression.
No kidding. So, okay, he sees this power, he understands its potential. How does he then go about getting this knowledge? Especially if it involves something, well, unconventional like cannabis.
Right. A legend says when he went to his teacher, Luang Porkrad, to ask for this knowledge, he didn't just ask, he offered him cannabis.
Just like that. An offering of cannabis.
Well, not just randomly. This is where his Panyayan, his insight, comes in. He apparently knew through this deep understanding that this was his teacher's specific preference. And this act, this very specific, insightful offering, is believed to be why he received the knowledge, while another monk who just asked, didn't.
So it wasn't just the gift, but the understanding behind it. Still, you could almost see that as, well, a kind of clever persuasion, couldn't you? How does the Panyayan elevate it?
That's the crucial point. Even if some versions of the story say maybe he was initially refused or got the knowledge later, the emphasis is always on his unique insight. It suggests it wasn't just a simple trait. It was about his deep perception of the person, the situation, and acting skillfully based on that understanding to achieve a spiritual goal. It points to a wisdom that maybe operates beyond just the surface rules.
That makes sense. It frames it differently. But this whole cannabis offering, it raises the question, what was the deal with cannabis in Thailand back then during his lifetime?
Yeah, it's not what most people probably think.
Yeah.
Before 1934, cannabis was largely unregulated. It was common.
Really? In what way?
In traditional medicine, even in food. Some accounts say laborers used it to relax muscles, women for pain during childbirth, is this around. Then, boom. 1934, the Cannabis Act makes it illegal. And by 1979, it's officially a narcotic. Serious stuff.
And now.
Now it's swung back. Partly, medical use legalized in 2018, decriminalized pretty broadly in 2022, though it sounds like they're tightening up recreational use again, maybe by 2025.
So the legal ground under Luang Kutim's feet shifted dramatically during his own life regarding this plant.
Absolutely. Which makes his story even more layered, you know.
Okay, so connecting this back to Luang Pu Tim and his unconventional offering, how did that fit or maybe clash with the dominant religious views, particularly Buddhism? You've got the fifth precept, right?
Exactly. The fifth precept, abstaining from intoxicants that cause heedlessness. That's pretty central.
So cannabis would seem to fall under that.
Well, here's the nuance. The Vinaya, the monastic code, didn't specifically list every substance. It couldn't have, really. But the principle is clear. Avoid anything that dulls the mind, impairs judgment, or creates attachment and dependence.
Because true insight comes from within.
Precisely. Through mindfulness, through wisdom, not from relying on external substances. So Luang Pu Tim, using it, even as an offering based on insight. It does feel like it's testing the boundaries, perhaps looking at the spirit over the literal letter of the rule.
Interesting distinction. Okay, but then you look at Hindu traditions and it's almost the opposite picture sometimes, isn't it?
Right. A stark contrast. Cannabis, especially as bhang, has ancient sacred connections, particularly in Shiva worship. It's even called the medicine of Shiva sometimes.
And sadhus, holy men, use it for meditation.
Some do, yes, believing it aids deeper states. But, and this is crucial, even within Hinduism, there are strong warnings. It can be seen as tamasic, linked to ignorance or darkness.
Like a spiritual shortcut.
Kind of, yeah. Or something that bypasses the needed discipline. And despite those ancient roots, today, strictly illegal in India. Heavy penalties.
Wow. So complex views there, too. And a real clash between tradition and modern law.
Definitely. It shows how layered these things are.
So wrapping this all up, Luang Putim's story set against these changing laws and varied religious views, what does it really suggest to you, to the listener?
I think it underscores that profound wisdom, the Panyan, isn't always about following rules to the letter. Maybe it's about understanding the deeper purpose, seeing the unique situation.
And finding a path, sometimes an unconventional one, towards a spiritual goal, even if it involves something as loaded as cannabis, it highlights insight and maybe intention.
Yeah. And it leaves us with a pretty provocative thought, doesn't it? In our world, which is full of quick fixes, temptations, substances, what does it really mean to seek knowledge and liberation purely from within?
Free from all those external attachments or potential shortcuts. What stands out to you when you think about pursuing wisdom, especially when insight itself seems to bend the rules? Something to chew on.